We'll just have to depend upon the human voice. You know, Ben Franklin once went to hear George Whitefield, the great evangelist, to hear him speak. Actually, kind of went to test out how far could Whitefield actually be heard. God knew that he was going to use Whitefield, and this was before we had all these marvelous electronic equipment. And Whitefield had a powerful voice, and he tested, you know, he just kept backing away as to how far he could get away from Whitefield's voice and still hear Whitefield preaching. But he also had a friend, and one of Whitefield's main reason for coming to America was to raise funds for an orphanage. That was the main he was interested in. But then God ended up using his preaching to bring tremendous help both in the United States and in England. And Franklin, went to one of his friends, and the friend was complaining. He said, "I can't believe it. Whitefield preached, and I gave everything I had, to the orphanage." That is, when the offering was taken, Franklin commented, "Well, I purposely didn't take anything to the meeting because I knew that I would have given it if I had taken it, so I didn't take anything." So that was Ben Franklin's take on that. Was kind of interesting. How did I get off on that subject? Oh, we were getting wired to the thing. We were going to talk about caffeine. That's what we were going to start with this morning. And so let's see if I can find that in my notes. I think we left off with something like you sleep with your eyes open if you've had too much caffeine. Tammy was saying before the service, though, that if you go to sleep at 10 o'clock in the morning, that shows you may not have had enough caffeine. So if you're ready for a nap already, you maybe should have had another cup of tea or coffee. But here's another sign of too much caffeine. You want to spend all vacations at the Maxwell House. You're the employee of the month at the local coffee house. You don't even work there. You've worn out 3 sets of tennis shoes this month. Your eyes stay open even when you sneeze. The nurse needs a scientific calculator to take your pulse. Your t-shirt says, "Decaffeinated coffee is the devil's coffee." You're so jittery that people use your hands to blend their smoothies. You can type 60 words a minute with your toes. You can jumpstart your car without cables. Another sign of too much caffeine. But we'll leave that subject there. Come back to the subject that we talked about last night in terms of planning. Thinking just as we begin this morning, do you have a plan? And the fact that you and I need a plan. If I don't have a plan for how to grow in my walk with God myself, then my relationship with my wife isn't going to be that good. And then, of course, working at how do we have a plan together to grow in Christ. So this morning, if you're picking up in your... you must have a plan to love your spouse. That's on page 10 in your notes. And we'll be following along with that outline this morning, picking up on some other suggestions. But as we do, I want you to say this verse with me this morning from 1 Peter 4:8. So say the reference with me, 1 Peter 4:8, and then say the verse with me. So the reference is 1 Peter 4:8. "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." So say it again. "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." How many of you can remember our memory verse from last night? 1 Thessalonians 5:16, "Rejoice always." 1 Thessalonians 5:17, "Pray without ceasing." 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we didn't want together, but "In everything give thanks, for the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." But say this verse with me again. "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." 1 Peter 4:8. Now, in the context of 1 Peter chapter 4, is this referring to husband and wife love? 1 Peter chapter 4, context, is this referring to husband and wife love? Anybody know the answer off the top of your head? Well, I see you're all checking, or at least many of you are grabbing your Bibles. I'll give you a clue. This is not talking about husband and wife love. It is the word, agape love, but this is referring to love between you and I as members of the body of Christ. So, how many of you have something like a to-do list that you have from day to day that you work from? How many of you are that kind of, you know, you get a to-do list going for the a number of you? So according to this scripture, what should be the first thing on your to-do list today? Before anything else, keep fervent in your love for one another. So the top thing on your to-do list for today should be demonstrate the love of Christ to a brother in Christ. To a brother or a sister in Christ, demonstrate the love of Christ to them. For example, we got an email from our daughter yesterday, and they have, Tim is the pastor of the Antioch Bible Church, her husband. His associate pastor is Alan. Alan and his wife Rachel have adopted a little girl, and she has a problem with acid reflux, where, you know, the acids in her stomach are coming up. She's vomiting. She's awake about every 45 minutes or half an hour during the night. And they've had terrible time for the last two or three, 4 weeks with her. So Michelle invited Rachel to their house. She and our grandkids took Rachel's four kids while Rachel had the afternoon to go to the room and just rest and sleep. And she sent her home with supper. Okay, that's the idea. Keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. So that in your relationship with others in the body of Christ, what is the first thing on your to-do list? Say the verse with me again. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. So, that should be on the top of your list. We've talked about a plan and having a plan for action. If I teach you in this weekend, in the sense that if you give a man a fish, you fed him for a day. You teach him how to fish, you fed him for a lifetime. Are you familiar with that statement? Give a man a fish, you fed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, you fed him for a lifetime. Can I, in these two or three days, teach you a method of Bible study which, if you practice it, will feed you spiritually for a lifetime? And I think I can. Last night, we practiced it. With each scripture that we went over, I gave you a sample prayer. What do you have to do? Ephesians 4 teaches us very clearly. You must put off the old man. You are a brand new creation in Christ. But as a brand new creation in Christ, you are still subject to the habits of the flesh that you have learned through your life. You know, you're a habitual sinner. You know, you are addicted, if you will, to sin. Actually, the Bible uses the word, you are enslaved to sin. You are held captive by sin. That's, I think, even stronger. You are a slave to sin. But you are to now put off those old man habits. You are to put on new man habits, the new flesh habits. And how do you do that? Through the renewing of your mind. Who am I in Christ? How does Christ empower me? Because without Christ, I can do, what did we learn last night? Zippo. Nothing. Nada. Zero. But in Christ, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be all that God wants me to be. I can pray, Lord, make me holy today as you are holy in all my behavior. And expect that God will work, and he will be progressively making me into that person that he wants me to be as I grow in him. So in that process, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Love covers a multitude of sins. The first thing on our to-do list as a husband and wife, because who's your closest neighbor? Well, your wife, you know. Most likely you sleep in the same bed with her. You know, or if it's your husband, you sleep in the same bed with him. Now, sometimes the kids get up in the middle of the night and they're scared out of, you know, their wits, so they want to crawl in between you. But, you know, hopefully that's not the pattern. You know, it's you and her, and you sleep together. Yeah, that's your closest neighbor. And so, above all, keep fervent in your love. Who would be the first one then demonstrate love to? Your husband, your wife, your spouse, one that God has given you for your life. So, before we actually begin this study, I want to ask you to pray with me again. Will you pray first for yourself? You ask God to work in your heart. You ask Him to solidify what He did last night. Ask Him to open your mind this morning. And I know, and if you're one of those that raised your left hand and said, I really didn't get that good a night's sleep, ask God to give you the extra strength that you need to listen. Remember, He did say in Isaiah chapter 40 that if you will wrap yourself around Him, that He will give you additional strength. And so ask Him to give you the strength to listen. And then ask that He will again keep me true to His word, that what I say will not be my opinion, my thoughts, but will be accurate to the scriptures. And then pick a third person, somebody else you know. Maybe there's somebody that's been coming to your church that you know that doesn't know Jesus yet. Maybe there's a loved one, a dad or a mom or a cousin or an uncle who doesn't know Christ. And ask that God open their minds to the gospel. They would understand what it is that this is our Father's world. But pray for yourself. Secondly, that I would be true to the word. And thirdly, just pick another individual that needs prayer and lift them up before the throne of grace. So let's pray together, each in our own heart.